Ramsey TV.
I'm gonna tell you something today that I've hinted at before, that I've skirted the edges of, but perhaps never have given this to you in depth, or rather, maybe not given you the right words to describe it. I mean, I'm always learning new ways to say things, new ways to understand things myself. I mean, for all I know, I could go back and look through my videos, and for all I know, I might have some videos with the same titles. And of course, now and then I talk about the same things. But what I say about it today will be different than what I said about it last year, or 2 years ago, or 20 years ago, as is the case with some of the audios that are coming out with the videos done by Rodney Paris. You always get new insight as you grow. So I'm going to tell you something today concerning forgiveness versus justification. It is, the thing about this is, it is so radical that you can hardly believe it. It's hard to wrap your mind around what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to do my best to put it in a nutshell. This may be a short video because once I say it, I don't know what else I could possibly add to it. I know what you're thinking. Well, you'll think of something to add to it, Zender. Well, maybe so. Here we go. Because I'm understanding this even better myself, of course, as I meditate on these things. Let's say a criminal, commits a murder. When someone commits a murder in a civilized country, the murderer is punished. The law seeks to do right, and in some countries, in some states in our country, there's the death penalty. If it's not the death penalty, then somebody who murders someone, first degree murder, usually life in prison. There's punishment meted out to the criminal, to the murderer. And we call it justice. I mean, in a way it is justice. But what is the lack here? Even when someone apprehends, when the police apprehend that they get the right man, he's committed a heinous murder. And let's just say he goes to prison for life. The punishment has been meted out. What is lacking here is that the punishment deals only with the criminal. Does it touch the crime? In other words, can you bring the dead person back? No. The punishment only satisfies in some tiny way, the victim's family. They have some kind of comfort knowing that the perpetrator got his or her due. And we call that justice, and that's the best humans can do. It's better than letting the guy off. It's better than not capturing him. It's better than a lot of things. But it deals, our judicial system deals only with the criminal. You can't undo the crime, can you? Now, the scenario I just gave you aligns with or is related to pardon or forgiveness in the scriptures, the way God deals with Israel. Is that they commit a sin and they are either punished for their sins, speaking of the law of Moses, or if they're not punished for their sins, then they confess their sins, and every year their sins are covered over. That's called forgiveness. Forgiveness assumes wrongdoing. So when someone does something wrong, you either met out the punishment or you say, well, we're going to overlook that. We're going to overlook the penalty for now. And this is what God did with Israel on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was the one day when the sins of Israel were confessed and the sacrifice was brought, and it was God's way of telling the people, I'm a merciful God. You did wrong, and you did wrong all day, all year, but I'm going to overlook the penalty. In other words, I'm not going to come down and kill you all because you're such imperfect sinners. It was a propitiation, which is a shelter, a covering. Going to cover it up. It doesn't make it disappear. The sin has not been dealt with, just the sinner. The sinner has been dealt with. As in the case of the murderer is dealt with. In the case of Israel, the sinner is dealt with in that the sinner can live another year being relieved of the guilt of the sin because of the pardon of the forgiveness. But in this case, same with the case of the murderer, you're not doing anything about the sin itself. It still stands. It's still there. It's still a crime, is it not? Now let's go to justification. Many religious people, and maybe many people in the Christian religion, they think justification and forgiveness are the same things. But they're not. They're totally different. Forgiveness deals with the sinner, but it doesn't do anything about the crime. Justification, on the other hand, are you ready for this? The root word of the word justification is just. That word also means right, to make right. Justification, get ready for this, justification makes everything right, including the crime. Justification makes everything right, whereas forgiveness just makes the sinner feel good about him or herself, but it doesn't make right what they did wrong. The murderer being given the death penalty or life in prison, it doesn't bring the dead back, and it doesn't make the crime right. It doesn't make the crime right. This is a shock. Justification makes everything right, including the crime. How? Because this is hard to wrap your head around. I'm even struggling with it now, but because it takes what the humans would see as a terrible thing, and it looks at that very same thing justification does, or God does, that very same thing that in the human realm is wrong, is actually, in the God realm, that is the absolute viewpoint, right. The thing is, in fact, from the divine viewpoint, right. In other words, the thing is justified. The thing had to happen. The thing needed to happen. Life wouldn't be the same if it didn't happen. In fact, life would have been, this is hard to say, life would have been worse. Things would have been worse if it hadn't have happened. Before you freak out, I'll give you the best example in the world of this principle. And I think you already know what it is. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The death of Christ. Greatest sin ever committed by human beings. The Son of God was tortured and crucified. died a horrible death. And the people who were responsible for it, Jesus said what? Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Forgive them. There it is. The people that did it. It's just that that's an amazing thing. That's fantastic to forgive people who did something so horrible. Forgive them. They know not what they do. But it doesn't touch the crime, does it? That just touches the criminals. It touches the sinners. It deals with the sinners, with the doers of the deed. But Jesus Christ is still dead. So the forgiveness part, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. That's nice. It's great. It's amazing. It's a miracle. But it doesn't touch, doesn't deal with, doesn't make right the sin of killing the Son of God. Justification does. Justification makes the sin right from God's perspective. Nobody's going to say, I'm not saying the crucifixion is the right thing to do. In the relative world, that is the world in which we relate relative to each other, we warn each other not to do certain things. Don't crucify anyone. Okay? I forbid you to crucify anyone. But the way God alchemizes it, turns it around, is that the crucifixion of Christ ends up being justified. That is, it ends up being right, the right thing. How could it be the right thing? You know how. Because it bought the salvation of the world. It bought the salvation of not only human beings, but of the celestial beings. It is the centerpiece of God's plan of the eons to reconcile all things to himself. The cross, from that perspective, is the best thing that could have ever happened because of what it accomplished. It was necessary. It wasn't a thing they added or God added at the last minute. It was done to show his love, because how better to see his love than to sacrifice his only son on the cross. Thus, God loves the world. He gives his only begotten son. So it's right in that way. It shows the love of God. And it's also right in its effectiveness in doing away with sin. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So in that perspective, it's justified. The crucifixion of Christ is justified. So it is not a sin. You see that? You see that? From the divine perspective, an action of God, what God did, what you can see, and we can even see this, we even understand this, we even understand it, that yeah, from that viewpoint, you're right. Where would we be without the crucifixion of Christ? And so, in a way, you can see that the Romans were necessary, Pontius Pilate was necessary, Judas was necessary, all these evil actors, Caiaphas, they're necessary. And while they will have to be judged for what they did in their own hearts, they will be someday, after they've been made aware in their own hearts of what they intended to do at the time, they will be justified. And in fact, Christ shed his blood on the cross, as I told you before, to justify the entire human race. But not only is the entire human race justified, but all the sins are justified. They will be seen to have been right, to have been necessary. You would not be who you are today if it weren't for the mistakes you made. You learn from your mistakes. Ooh, learn from your mistakes. Simple saying, we say it all the time. But it is a suggestion of justification. That thing that happened was actually right. Not in a relative sense. Whether you disobeyed your parents, or you stole from a store, or you killed someone. Nobody's going to say that's right. However, with a divine perspective, it's needed, and it's actually the right thing that happened. It was the best thing that could have happened. This is why Paul can say in Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good. That can't be said under the umbrella of forgiveness, with that the whole concept of you did wrong, but we're going to pretend that you didn't. It's still thought of as a bad thing. But here, all things work together for good. Therefore, if the goal is good, such as the salvation of the world, then everything contributing to it was good. It was good. Another great example of this, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to give you a personal, how to apply this to your life, is Joseph's brother selling him in slavery to Egypt. Terrible crime, terrible sin, and yet what happens? Joseph goes to Egypt, and he goes through a terrible trial there. He ends up showing wisdom. Pharaoh recognizes it, puts Joseph second in command, and he ends up saving the whole world from starvation because he has a dream. God tells him there's going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. God gives him the wisdom to save up grain during the 7 years of plenty. You know that story. And of course, Joseph's brothers end up going to Egypt. They don't know it's his brother, but their father, Jacob, says, "There's a wise man in Egypt. I heard tell. Go to him. Fine. Get us some grain. We're starving." They don't know it's Joseph. They tremble before the great man. You know the story. Two trips back and forth getting grain. Joseph finally reveals himself to them. They're stunned. They're shocked. Why? Because they put him there because of their treachery. And they think, now Joseph's going to kill us. He's going to get his revenge. He's finally going to get his revenge. What does Joseph say? I think it's Genesis 50, verse 20, one of the greatest verses of Scripture. Joseph says to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Shocking verse, because the same verse, the verse is telling us that the same act is evil in one perspective, the limited human relative perspective, but in the divine perspective, it's good. I'm just a messenger here. Joseph said it. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So that was meant for good. It was justified. That's where justification comes in. That's why with justification, you're pronounced to be righteous. The root word there is right, and there's no thought of bringing a penalty against you because you didn't do anything wrong. Forgiveness, again, assumes you did wrong. It assumes that you did wrong. We're going to let you go. We're going to let you off. That's what the word forgiveness means, to let off. We're going to let you off the penalty. But justification is a far deeper, far greater thing. It says you never even did anything wrong. That's basically what Joseph said to his brothers. Deep spiritual truth. You actually didn't do anything wrong because God meant it for good, and he used you, my evil brothers, as the tool to do good. God meant it for good. Think of what the "it" is. Selling him into slavery, the jealousy, the hatred, selling him. That's what the "it" is. God meant it for good. And so that being a contributor to the good from the divine perspective is good itself. That's justification. It's justified. It's right. Justification deals with the sin, not just the sinner. Forgiveness only deals with the sinner. Punish the sinner or let the sinner off. Justification goes deeper, deals with the sin, the crime. It brings people back from the dead. In my example I gave you, you punish a murderer, you can't bring back the life that the murderer took out. Justification does. Justification makes the crime right. And someday the victims of all crimes will come forward and it will be seen that it somehow worked for good in their life. I'm not kidding you. Just think about it. The worst evil you can think of is the crucifixion of Christ. And we're sitting here, I'm in my kitchen in Fort Lauderdale, and I'm telling you that that was a righteous act of God because of what it brought. So we can justify it. We can look back and say, oh, that's horrible. How could people do that? How could people nail other people to a cross? I'm with you on that. I hate it. But then I look at it from the other perspective. I see the glory now that Christ has subsequent to the cross. Because of the depths he went down to, God exalted him higher than he was before he came to earth. So I'm thinking, yeah, the cross was the best thing that ever happened. We can see that with the cross. And that was the worst crime ever committed. So what I'm telling you is, if we can see it there, then it's just a matter of understanding that lesser crimes will also be justified. the lesser crime of your sins. These are lesser crimes than the crucifixion of Christ. And I just justified the crucifixion of Christ. And you're agreeing with me. Yeah, well, I got to admit, that's the best thing that ever happened. If I can justify that, then you can justify your mistakes. The things you torture yourself over that you did. You hurt other people. You made a mess of things. Yes, in the relative world, yes. But justification is not only proclaiming you to be righteous in the sight of God, but your acts will be alchemized by the touch of God and the blood of the cross. They will be changed into things that had to happen, and your life wouldn't have been the same unless you did those things, and you'll be able to look back with no shame, no guilt, when God touches you with a divine touch and says, son, daughter, those things had to happen. You had to do it. It was the best thing for you. You meant it for evil, but I meant it for good.